We would like to say a special thank you to Tim and Connie Larson for sponsoring this week's episode.
I love how you find that funny.
I find it ironic because everybody's like, no, I want to have something better. This is exactly what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve wanted to know what God knows.
Yeah.
They wanted to be God themselves. They wished they could know. That was the original sin.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Scripture First, the podcast that explores how the Lutheran lectionary is working in your life. I'm your host, Mason Van Essen. This week's text says that Jesus is the vine and God is the vine grower. Everyone who produces fruit, God prunes to produce more fruit. Everyone who doesn't produce fruit, God lops off the vine to wither and burn. And this is supposed to be reassurance? Dr. Chris Krogan explains how this is an election text. The fact that you're hearing this means you're connected to the vine. You're connected to Jesus. Through that connection, you're producing fruit. Faith. Let's get to this week's lectionary text. But first, here's John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And now on to this week's conversation.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to this week's Scripture First.
We have the one and only Carrie Haugen with us this week.
That's right.
I learned my lesson from last week
that we always say. You're so kind. Thank you.
The one and only with Carrie. But truly, we have the master across the table, Dr. Chris Krogan. Thanks for being here.
There's a difference between being a master and a doctor, though.
That is true. Level one, we have the doctor.
There you go. Technically, we have a difference between a master and a doctor.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Just to stay correct, I just won't call you any of it.
There you go. You can't screw it up.
I'll just stick with my controversial Krogan.
There you go. The OG.
The OG. Okay, so we're back in John today.
Yep, we are.
And so we were talking about this before we started recording, how there are some, and we'll dive deeper into this when we just keep going, but there are some similarities between your text and Sarah's text next week.
Last week.
Right. Yeah, there's some similarities, but I think, you know, this, what is happening here in the lectionary is there's this assurance for those who are wondering, is Jesus for them? And that's a big thing here, because what these texts can often do, and Sarah was talking about that last week, is people can wonder about that if they think that they have what we call some agency or a role to play in as you guys were talking about, deciding about Jesus and all this kind of stuff. That actually creates uncertainty. What Jesus is doing is he is taking the language now and using some of these analogies, and a lot of people will still spin it into an uncertainty because they'll think, oh, I need to do something. So we'll get to the word abide here, and this is something, a role that I play. But what's fun about this text is it's very hard to say that you can make this happen with the analogy Jesus uses here. So he uses such, like last week with the sheep, right? Mm-hmm. He uses an analogy that you can't mistake in that the sheep are going to decide to follow, right?
Yeah.
Even more so, you can't make an analogy here that you decide, and we'll get to the word abide for with the analogy he uses. So we'll start off. I am the true vine. The true vine being the core, that is a vine, right? And my Father is the vine grower. So what Jesus is starting off there saying, here's the analogy. I'm the vine. My Father planted the vine. That would be me. So there's two things God's doing, right?
Pretty
straightforward.
You can't worm your way out of
this,
that one.
Right? God's up to this, and Jesus is the vine. So that's an important part. Now, next. He removes every branch. Again, God's doing the work in me that bears no fruit. So many people are starting to go, okay, there's something going on here. So this is the first part is this is an election text.
Yeah.
And the election is you either bear fruit or you don't bear fruit.
Does that mean have children?
Nope. It means we're going to talk about what the fruit is he's talking about.
Okay.
The fruit is going to be what the Father wants the fruit to be, which is trust in him. We'll get there, but let's just use the analogy he's going with first. God removes every branch in me, what's the in me? In the vine that bears no fruit. So if there's a branch on the vine that's not bearing fruit, it's going bye-bye. The ones that do bear fruit stay. So there's the election. You're either one that's bearing fruit or not bearing fruit. So now, as you already said, what is fruit? That's what people are going to start asking because yeah. I don't want to be the one being taken off the vine.
Yep.
Pruned, removed are going to be two different things. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Okay. Now we've got something going on here. Because, go ahead.
I love that you've just recited this frontwards and backwards like 4 or 8 times because it just, I think it just like finally stuck in my mind that,
yep.
Well, if a branch is lopped off, it dies.
Yeah.
Like how do you live? Well, you need to be attached to the vine.
The vine
and
right.
Who's the vine?
Exactly. Jesus.
Like,
right.
The analogy is perfect.
Yeah.
And who's the vine grower? His Father.
Yeah, exactly. But it shows you how much you aren't deciding to be a branch. You're not yeah. deciding to bear fruit.
Or not bear fruit.
Yeah. This is not, again, so, but you see, that for some people starts to become terrifying because they're wondering if they're bearing fruit, what kind of fruit, all that kind of stuff. But it's really not terrifying when you realize you can't decide to do it or not do it. It's like the sheep hear his voice. They followed him. That's what was last week. The bearing of fruit is up to the vine grower and the vine. Not the branch. The branch doesn't decide to bear fruit. It just does or it doesn't. Okay?
I feel like this text is really interesting. I feel like I'm able to relate to it because I know a few years ago, Mason and I would jest back and forth about our gardening skills.
Yeah.
And they haven't been very good, but I feel like throughout the years...
You've gotten better at.
I feel like they've gotten better, and I definitely lean on my mother for guidance
right,
a lot.
Because she's the master gardener.
She's the master gardener, so she's able to say, okay, for this tomato plant, this is what you need to do.
Right, and do you know what you do with tomato plants?
You prune them
you take
like
those little
crazy.
Yes, so there's these like branches that,
yes.
that, you know, so you have the main vine, and there's these little suckers that come up in
yep.
between, and you just pinch those off.
Yep.
Listen to the next verse. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes.
Yes.
And so if you want to get good tomatoes, you pinch those little guys off before they get too big.
Which is funny because it seems bass-ackwards.
Yeah, it does.
It sound like it should make sense.
Yeah.
If you want things to grow, you don't cut them and make...
Right.
Kind of like hair.
Absolutely.
If you want your hair to grow, you shouldn't cut it.
Yeah.
But if it's unhealthy, you've got to cut it off.
But anybody that's ever grown tomatoes and knows what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
they recognize you actually do a little pruning and you will have much better fruit. Now, pruning, like you already said, seems a little harsh.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those little guys that you just pluck off, Dr. Krogan.
Well, no. It's not just that you're one of the little guys. You don't want parts of what you think are going to be helpful for you removed. It's not, you know, it's more of the plucking off the things that are not going to actually help you. Now that's
because, like, on a tomato plant, you don't know that those suckers aren't going to help you. So that's
you do actually.
I mean, you do, but you also don't, especially if you're a novice.
If you're the branch, you think that I'm just going to grow this little thing out over here and it's going to help me. And all of a sudden, the vine grower comes in and chops it off.
Right.
You think that he chopped off a part of you, but he's actually helping
you. So now, how is it that being pruned by God grows faith? This is where things. Because the fruit is faith. The fruit that God is looking for when he is saying here, this is what the fruit is going to be, it's going to be faith. What is faith? Trust in God. Trust in what? That he does what he says. And what does he say he does? He makes you his own. He brings you into his fold. He's your shepherd. All these things. He cares for you when you are hurting. When you are sinning, he gives you mercy. He raises you from the dead. All those things, if you think that your life is good and you're just fine, you're not thinking, oh, I need God's help. I'm going to rely on God today. You're thinking, I've got the world by the tail and I'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. Look at my credits. So the pruning actually is God's way, and it's a kind of what you think a backwards way of making faith in God alone. So it's, you're right, it seems a little harsh. It seems a little almost hurtful, and it is hurtful. There is actually some pain that you have to experience for you to cry out, mercy, God, please have mercy. Hmm. Please relent. Please take care of my child. Please don't let this happen. Please, you're sending it to the right address, but those are in the times of trial. That's what this pruning is about. And so that's what's going on. So it bears what kind of fruit? Not so it bears that you are going to have success, but so it bears that you trust the one who created you to deliver you from all that you need and give you all that you need. Because a lot of times, again, when we have success, we think, oh, I made this. Mm-hmm. I am the master of my domain, right? I am it. When you, you know, whenever you kind of have an accomplishment, you go, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
Well, but when you are like taken out, you're not like, oh, look at me. You're like, please help.
It's everybody else's fault.
But you're also, please help. I mean, yeah.
You're at your lowest low.
You're at low, and you now finally have to say, I'm not able to. God, do it. That's literally the sixth step of alcoholism, right? Fifth step. The fifth step of right?
Yeah.
And they have to get there. They have to literally, you know that addicts have to hit bottom for them to be able to say, I can't, God must. Okay. That's the pruning that's going on in all of our lives, be it an addiction or be it whatever the case may be, idols that we have. So that's, then it's going to bear more fruit. What's fruit? Trusting God, sending it to him. So then let's look at 15.
What you just said, actually in verse 3, it says, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you.
Yes.
That fits.
Exactly.
Exactly into what you just said.
Right, precisely. Which is that God, Jesus had already been speaking to the disciples into their lives and taking away their own sense of self assurance, their own sense of self-righteousness, their own sense of me, myself, and I, and saying, I am yours. I am the one that made you. I am the one that delivers you. I am the one that gives you all you need from day to day. I am the bread of life. I am, not you are. Okay, so exactly. So when he started speaking that word, he started pruning them right away. You're not God, I am.
That is very interesting, because a lot of Christians in the modern world view it as something you just tack onto your life to benefit yourself. I go to church to improve my image, or I'm going to prosperity gospel. If I'm a Christian, I'm going to like make more money, blah, blah, blah. But no, when Christ is giving you his word, it cleanses you. It actually takes things away from you.
It actually makes you say, God, you're God, I'm not. Which is obeying the first commandment. I am the word of God, you shall have no other gods, including your own sense of self. Well, that's how he starts to prune. And so, but he has to say that by saying his word to you, actually bringing his word to you. So this is where we go now into 15:4. Abide in me as I abide in you. Now that's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you sit there right away, you go abide. And actually in Greek, it is an imperative and something that you are doing. It's an active in the Greek even. But as Jesus is abiding in you, that is to say, he's the first one to make the first move. Just as I've abided in you, you are going to also now be drawn to abide in me. Just as the branch cannot bear, why do I make that switch? Because look at the next sentence. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, right?
Yeah.
In other words, a branch is not in control of this.
So well, if the branch is lopped off and laying on the ground, it's not going to produce fruit.
Exactly.
That's why
it has to be attached to the vine, which means you still don't have the ability to do this. It's something God is doing.
That's why you can burn branches, because after being removed from the vine for so long, they wither up and dry up.
Exactly. And so, which is why he says, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you're not attached to my word, if you're not attached to me, which, by the way, Christ has grown you. He has named you. This is why my sheep hear my voice from last week. This is, you can see now how this is an election. There's the haves and the have-nots.
Yep.
But it's an assurance of election, because the very fact that you are hearing this, that you are in this, means you're still attached to the vine. This is not like, I wonder, am I going to bear fruit?
Yeah, you can't wonder, am I abiding in Jesus? It's like, well, yes, you are, because here you are, Jesus is abiding in you. You're hearing this.
Exactly. Yeah,
you've got the preacher in your ear right now.
Exactly, right. This is the very fact that he is bringing his word to now, what is the word doing? Pruning you, right? Cleansing you. Yeah, that's why you're sitting here, is he's removing your sense that I'm God and giving you himself. So I'm the vine, you are the branches, those who abide in me, and I am them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing.
So he's kind of just reiterating.
He's just restating it. But he's just like, I'm it, you're just coming out of me.
Maybe I already asked this, but who is he talking to here?
His disciples.
Okay.
Yep, he's talking to his disciples.
No wonder why he has to reiterate it so much.
Yeah, exactly. but we'll see this in verse 8, but we'll get there when he talks to his disciples. But then he goes, whoever does not abide in me. Now this is, people will start getting scared.
Yes.
What do you mean whoever doesn't? Well, it's basically
you're thrown
simple.
Away like a branch and withers.
Yeah.
Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned.
Right. And in other words, it's just going to be the case. It doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't have faith in God. It's going to wither. Just think about it just on an existential thing. If you have to be the one that saves people from dying, you don't have faith in God, right? You have to be their savior. You have to be the one that, this is, you guys are now in the role of parenthood. Guess what you won't be able to do?
Save our kid.
Keep your kid from doing stuff that might kill them.
Literally makes me want to cry.
Of course. But that's a pruning on you now. Because guess what you have to do? Trust God that his baptism is true.
Yeah.
That's the freedom you have now. So the assurance comes in that you abide in the word that was given to your child as well as to you, that God is doing this. And so you can hear the pruning word when you realize, oh my gosh, that which I take most treasure can be taken away from me because I can't even keep them from doing something that could threaten them and take them away from me. Lord, you're going to have to deal with this one. Bang, right there is abiding in the word. That is the fruit of faith. So this is.
But God does use us as his instruments.
He's
right?
Yeah, and to deliver that word to other people and to care for our kids and stuff like that. But that's not.
But thinking it's us by ourselves.
Thinking it's
me being able to save Lou.
Thinking that you are responsible for whether or not Lou exists.
Okay.
You're not.
Okay.
You will never will be. I mean, because you actually weren't even able to make it happen in the womb.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah.
And so for, but can't you, right there is the beautiful assurance. You weren't even actually make this go.
Yeah.
And you're like, God did this. This is why these children are gifts. This is why your daily bread is a gift. This is why Luther talks about it. Daily bread, good government, home, family, work, income, safety, good weather. These are all gifts from God.
Yeah. And you can sit here and worry as much as you want. I mean,
yeah.
You could be like, well, what if God changes his mind and then suddenly lops me off?
Yep.
What if I'm no longer attached to the vine? What if he changes his mind? Or in the daily bread example, what if there's a giant plague and all the food in the grocery stores disappear and
yep.
And I, there's no more sunlight or right. You can go, climate change is going to kill us all, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You can go down this.
We have all those questions, right? All of us have those questions. But the fact that the people that are sitting in the pew and the preacher speaking this reattaches in their head, they are part attached to the vine. But it's the people that don't hear that, that have to chase after, the world is going to end because of climate change, or the election is going to be our final destiny, or whatever the case may be coming up in the next 6 months, right?
I'm going to be screwed if I lose my job.
You're screwed if you lose your job, or the Middle East conflict is going to go global, and we're going to have World War III, and my kid's going to go off to war, and I'll lose him, blah, 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 right? Tornado's going to hit. We're going to have a famine because there's a drought. Whatever the case may be, those are the people. Such branches are gathered, thrown in the fire, and burned. They are literally experiencing hell because they don't have any assurance. They're chasing after their own existence produced by themselves. And that is on a gerbil wheel, and that's anxiety, that is stress, that's no peace. That's what he's saying, is if that word isn't in you, my word, my voice in your heart, then you are burning up. You're burning up. We could call it a burnout, right? Mm-hmm. So if you abide in me, this is now 7, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish. So now Jesus isn't saying rub the genie the genie lamp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And make a wish.
It sounds like that's what he's saying,
exactly.
Though.
It sounds exactly. So that's what people are thinking.
Yes.
Because they're thinking in their selfish.
If you believe, then good things will happen.
Right. They're thinking in their selfish mind again. Ah, now here's the equation for me to get what I want.
Well, it's literally saying that, Krogan.
Listen.
For
whatever you wish, but what you are going to wish when you abide in his word is that God is true to his promises, not that you self-benefit. Because when you abide in his word, you're hearing, I'm your God, I'll take care of it. If you think God is God and he'll take care of it, you aren't wishing for anything in the world. Because you're like, God's going to deal with it.
The second you ask for or you wish for anything that benefits yourself, like, oh, I wish I had a nicer car.
Right.
Yeah.
Purely selfish. Guess what? Like, you're no longer abiding.
Yes.
Like, by definition of you asking for something that benefits yourself.
Well, you just broke the 9th and 10th commandment, coveting, right? I mean, this is one of the things that always drove people nuts when I would teach this either to confirmation or in the congregation or especially freshmen in college. And I'd say, do you wish for something? Yes, you just broke the 9th and 10th commandment because you are wishing that God would give you what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's coveting. So to wish for something that hasn't been given to you is not trusting that God has given you everything you need from day to day, which is not abiding his word. So when you abide in his word, you have no wishes that aren't already given to you. Do you see now the logic? Ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you because you don't have a wish for something that hasn't been given to you already. You are just comfortable with where God has placed you in this life.
I love how you find that funny.
I find it ironic because everybody's like, no, I want to have something better. This is exactly what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve wanted to know what God knows.
Yeah.
They wanted to be God themselves. They wished they could know. That was the original sin.
And people think that they know what's best for them.
Yeah.
And my life would be better if I had a nicer car. How do you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Nope. So this is what's going on. So back then 15:8, last verse. My Father is glorified by this. Now, it's not the this that was coming before. It's what's coming after. That you bear much fruit.
And become my disciples.
That you trust every word of the Lord. That's bearing much fruit. That you have faith in God. And in having faith in God, you have faith in the Son. You are a disciple of His. You just go along and say, Jesus said so. So it is.
And on that note, we've reached the end of this week's episode, my friends. Thank you to Dr. Chris Krogan for explaining how this text is truly reassurance. Jesus is the vine and God is the vine grower. Whenever you're connected to His word, you produce fruit, and that fruit is faith. The best part? God is the one who chooses us. He is the one who connects you to the vine. He is the one who prunes us to produce even more fruit. Even when He commands us to abide in Him, it's after He already abides in us. Have you listened to Luther House of Study's other podcast, Sing to the Lord? Martin Luther said, "Next to the Word of God, the art of music is the greatest treasure in the world." To understand the importance of hymnody in the Lutheran Church, Lars Olsen and I sit down with music and worship expert Zachary Brockhoff each week to discuss the lectionary's hymns, their meaning in history, and how the music preaches the gospel. You can find a link to that podcast at the link in the show notes. Thanks again for joining us this week. Remember, find reassurance that God will deliver on His promises. We'll see you next time on Scripture First.